Let's make Longbridge swim talk.
Good time to talk about it. Jim Zuber-Bueller, our guest, is the race director and board chair of the Longbridge Swim. How long have you been involved in the swim, Jim?
Well,
okay, yeah. God, get over it.
I moved here in the fall of 2000, and the first week that I was here working, I took myself for a hike on Mineral Point Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who I met on the trail?
Eric Ridgway.
Eric Ridgway. Okay. And here's this random guy, and mm-hmm. In the 5 minutes I talked to him, he told me about the Longbridge Swim. And so the next summer I swam it. Didn't know if I could swim across the lake. So I started in 2001. And then in 2007, I started volunteering. Was the assistant race director. And then, a dozen years ago or so, Eric asked if I would be the director. So I've been involved as a volunteer for a long time.
It's easy to imagine that everybody listening knows exactly what the Longbridge Swim is, but I suppose we have folks in town, maybe for the festival, who've never heard of it before. So what is and when is the Longbridge Swim, and is it too late to sign up?
It is not too late to sign up. We still have online registration available through 11:59 p.m. tonight at longbridgeswim.org. At Longbridge Swim, it's the 29th running of it. It happens, as the name implies, right next to the Long Bridge. We start on the south end and swim the 1.76 miles. We end at Dog Beach.
That's the distance. Interesting. 1.76.
Yeah. Okay. And this year, we're now back up to our 700-plus registration numbers. We've recovered from the pandemic. Many large events like us, we're down in numbers for a couple of years since we had to cancel in 2000, but we're back up. And in fact, I suspect this year will be our largest year ever. I'm guessing by last night passed through 750 registrations. We'll most certainly have 800 registrations, which we've never eclipsed.
You have on-site registration?
The last opportunity to register will be Friday evening at the high school, Sandpoint High School, which is early packet pickup from 5:30 to 7 p.m., and that's our last on-site opportunity. There is no same-day registration on Saturday, the actual race day. We've not had on-site registration for almost 10 years now. But you can physically register on Friday evening.
Can you say a little about when you say 800 people, where all do they go in the water, and how do you monitor,
good questions.
800 people?
Good questions. Well, we never have everyone show up who is registered. Many people will have registered a year ago, we have about 100 people from the immediate Sandpoint area do the swim, and then we have a couple hundred from Coeur d'Alene, a couple hundred from the Spokane area, and then hundreds from elsewhere, including usually at least a dozen foreign countries and a couple dozen states. So we draw people from all over. So we'll probably have at least 50 people who have registered who will not actually swim. But still, it'll be a large number of swimmers, maybe 750 swimmers. So we gather at the high school for early morning packet pickup, marking, getting your number marked on your body, get your swim cap and so on Saturday morning from 6:30 to 7:30. I do a safety talk at 8 a.m. And then we have a fleet of Lake Pendere School District buses that pick up the swimmers. And we head over to the south end of the bridge. The sheriff's department stops all the traffic so we can get everybody dropped off. So logistically, we have to do it that way. There's no parking down there.
Absolutely.
We used to just gather at the gas station when we had a couple hundred of us, and then we moved to City Beach many years ago. But the high school's worked out really well. We switched up our management last year, and this year will be our second year where we do ask everyone, do you want to do a water start or do you want to do a land start? Because we have hundreds of people who want to start in the water so that when the horn goes off, they're already in the water. So they're doing a mass water start. And so they're behind the line.
Okay.
And so we issue them blue swim caps and we put them on the first buses leaving the high school. Everyone else lines up and they walk across a mat that activates the timing chip that's around their ankle. There's a Velcro timing chip around their ankle.
Cool.
So that actually starts their time. So it's certainly possible that if we have an Olympic caliber swimmer, they could enter the water 10 minutes.
How does their timer start?
When they cross the mat. They cross a,
even the ones who are in the water?
No, the ones that are in the water, they've already crossed over the mat, so they're activated automatically when the horn starts.
Okay.
Okay, so all the swimmers in the water have the same start time.
The horn.
When the horn goes, that's when our timer has started their chip. Chip records that time.
Perfect.
And then everyone else has their time start when they cross over that mat. So you could have someone who's on land, not doing a water start, actually win the event. Probably unlikely, because we self-select out the faster swimmers. But this is an important feature of the swim, because we have a very wide area that we start, and we don't tolerate any sharp elbows, and there's no swimming over people. It's fun. And so it's not like what you see in triathlons and so on, which can be brutal, where you have people getting hurt and so on at the beginning. We don't have any of that. That group that's in the water, they get strung out along the bridge very quickly, and then people file in on land. And so we end up with, this year we'll certainly have more than 700 people swimming. And then we have a vast safety apparatus monitoring, which was the other part of your question. We'll have at least 70 safety kayakers along the bridge, and then outside on the outside of the kind of lane that we're using. We've got sheriff's department boats that have stopped all boat traffic under the bridge.
Excellent.
For the whole morning. And then we've got 10 people up on the bridge who are acting as spotters. So if they see a swim cap go under the water and they don't see it come back up, they are on the radio. And in addition to that, blowing a whistle and pointing. So a kayaker moves to that area. If there's an issue, we have the sheriff's department has a dive team suited up and ready to go. They're actually out on the water. So we've got scuba divers ready to go. We've never had to use that. So it's a machine. It's a safety machine out there. Bonner General staffs a medical tent over at Dog Beach, so we can get people to that if they're a little bit cold or tired or both. And then we stage an ambulance at Dog Beach also. So it's a very sophisticated operation. So the timing mechanism, we don't rely on that for keeping track of how many swim caps go in and how many come out. We've actually got two redundant clickers, people with clickers on the south end and on the north end counting. Mm. So we've got a lot of effort into not losing track of
anyone.
Yeah. So it's we put a lot of effort into that.
Now let's say, is there any apparatus allowed, like fins those little thing that you can wear around your upper arm that you see little kids with to hold them up?
Like the ones you have on right now?
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready to go. I can't wait till Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, you may wear fins for this one. You may wear a wetsuit, and about half the people will wear a swimming triathlon wetsuit, half will not. The water temperature will be about 70 degrees this year, which is really nice for swimming. That's a great temperature. Mm-hmm. And about half will be in a wetsuit. You may wear fins. If you are wearing fins, your time will be your placement will be marked with an asterisk indicating that it was a fin assisted swim.
Okay.
No floaties, no kickboards, no noodles, nothing like that. You can't hook up to Jack with a bungee and have him pull you.
Pull me, Jack. Pull me.
No scooters. Yeah. No foils. No nothing.
Okay.
It's a swim, not a float. So,
When he was describing all the activity at the south end, I was thinking of like a Gary Larson Far Side cartoon, like here's a little fish underneath the water having a beautiful summer day, and it's been this way all summer. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, disturbance in the air.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see it from a fish's point of view.
Yeah. here they come again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
once, just like last
annual,
year.
Uh-huh, annual, just exactly. Like last. So, when the what? Okay, they swim, and how long does it take the average person to swim 1.76 miles?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure there's an average person. I don't think anybody thinks you're average, Jim.
I do.
So we do have a time limit. 2.5 hours is our time limit.
Really?
And if someone's not to the quarter mile mark in 45 minutes, we gently ask them to finish their race. We bring them out onto a boat because they can't possibly complete the swim if they've only gotten a quarter mile in. That's 1/7 of the distance in 45 minutes. So that's a great indicator for us to gently help someone out. We only end up pulling an average of 10 people a year, and the vast majority of those are people, again, who get a little cold, a little tired, maybe both, and ask for, but you can stop along the way and, you know, put a hand on the bow of a safety kayak or take a rest, get a snack,
sure,
get some water.
Sure.
So, to answer your question, doing it in less than an hour is kind of the holy grail for a lot of people. They'd like to swim it in less than an hour. If the conditions are right, and that matters a lot, you know,
which
way is the current going? Do we have a swell?
Is
there a chop with wind, or is it smooth? We will have some swimmers complete it in 34, 35 minutes.
Wow!
And then we'll have people coming in right at that 2.5 hour mark.
Yeah, I have a question. In terms, you say a quarter of a mile, let's say, in 45 minutes. You know, I'm thinking of the pool at the health club, the Lighthouse YMCA. How many up and downs would that be for a quarter mile?
A quarter mile would be, let me think about
it. Yeah, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's see. A mile is 5,280 feet. Is that right?
Yep.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the health club is a 75-foot pool.
I it think is.
A, tw- it a 25 is. Yard, right?
25 okay. meter.
Oh, 25 meter. 20, okay, so like 78 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're doing this live right now on the air.
Without our
iPhones. Geniuses out there who know exactly.
So it's about 400 meters. It's pretty close to that. So 400, you know, is 8 50s. So over and back 8 times is about a quarter.
Wow. But of course, the difference is in a pool, you're not dealing with the wind, you're not dealing with the waves, you're not you are from the wake of other people, but not
and going straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We're here with Jim Zuberbühler, and we're talking about the Long Bridge Swim, and we're going to take a musical break. Jack and I and Jim, Swim Jim. This is a song that was released on this date. I always say to Jack, you won't remember this because Jack wasn't around.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I don't know about you, Jim, but you might remember it, maybe not. Chubby Checker, The Twist on this. So get up out of your, put down your coffee cups, get up out of your chair, and go with the flow. Released on this date in 1960, August 1.
What was that?
That was Chubby Checker back in 1960 with The Twist. And boy, it has that song endured.
It is, well, yeah.
And but he was not the original one who did it.
You're kidding.
Nope. 2 years before, 3 years before, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters did
okay.
it. And it sounds almost the same, but for some reason, Dick Clark glommed onto it and really pushed it. And since then, you know, we had Twisting again last summer like we did before, Twisting USA. Chubby Checker's career was tied up in a knot over the years over this song.
Yeah. It is, I would guess it's probably the best known song about a style of dance, right? Like the best known, title dance song. I can't think of.
You have the Locomotion.
There's others, yeah.
The Watusi, Pony Time.
Walk Like an Egyptian. That's kind of
that's
dance.
80s.
I know, but none of them caught on and endured like the Twist. But,
no,
you know,
love it. Oh, there's a cha cha cha.
yes. Well, anyway, there you go. That's Chubby Checker with the Twist. We're sitting here with Jim Zuberbühler, the race director and board chair of the Long Bridge Swim. Here's a question for you, Jim. How many people wear goggles? Everybody?
Ooh.
Or nobody?
Oh, that's a great question.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just about everybody. That really makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be spooked to be in the deep water with goggles on. I think I would go no goggles.
Why is that, Jack?
There's a word for that, for fear of deep water. I don't remember what it is. Or fear, you know, the unknown
what's
expanse.
Under there. Yeah,
yes,
what's under
underneath.
There. A lot of people have that.
Yeah. I think I would choose not to wear goggles if I were to swim. I would want to be able to see what's going on with my head above the water, and otherwise I would just want kind of a blur. Do you get many like shark attacks, things like that?
Very few.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be that would be my concern.
We've hoped the Pondere Paddler would make an appearance, but he never has.
Still none. Okay. the Long Bridge Swim is this Saturday, and you can go and you can still sign up if you want to swim in it, and if you don't want to swim in it, you can go and observe by standing
along the
Long Bridge.
And the bridge is a great way.
Yeah. Yeah. The pedestrian bridge. Super.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. That is. Yeah, how does the how many like observers would you say there are? How many people
spectate? We'll have a couple thousand spectators.
Yeah,
cool. And a lot of people. This is like I said, most people are not from the Sandpoint area. So,
yeah,
we estimate that we probably are the third largest. We have the third largest weekend economic impact on Sandpoint. Because we have so many people come for not just the weekend, but many people book a week and they'll do the triathlon in Coeur d'Alene, which is one weekend different than ours, and then our event. We had a family from Barcelona, for instance, that came for 10 years in a row. They have family here, but they came specifically to be able to do the swim. So we have a huge number of spectators, and it's very unusual to be able to watch an open water swim. I mean, usually they're going out around.
Sure.
You can walk along if you see somebody you know.
Yeah, you can have your, you know, whether it's your child, your mom, your spouse, you know their swim cap number, and you can watch them do the entire event, which is extremely unusual.
Is that cool?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Is that cool?
Thalassophobia.
What?
Thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia.
That is what it is.
Can you spell it?
I remembered it and then I looked it up. Thalassophobia.
I guess when I was a kid growing up.
Larger deep water. Sorry.
I was thinking the movie Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, comes up and grabs your leg and pulls you under.
That'll happen to Jack for sure.
Definitely. Jim, tell us about the incredible support in the community for learning how to swim.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So this is the 15th year of our safety program, swim safety classes and swim lessons. We started this in 2009. It was stimulated by, we had a couple of drownings the summer before. There was one in Spirit Lake, one up on the Moy. Both were high school boys who got into trouble. They were with buddies, both just got into water that was a little too deep, and they both drowned. They were non-swimmers, 16 years old. Both were great athletes, and there were two issues. One, they didn't know how to swim, and two, their friend didn't know what to do to help them, and they both drowned. Mm-hmm. So that really got our attention. You know, how can we tolerate that in an area like this with all this water? So Our program started pretty organically, developing advocates at the elementary schools, doing some homework on this. It was clear that third grade is the right grade to teach kids to swim. There's a lot of research that...
What age is a third grader? Ten years old is third grade.
Yep. Okay. They're old enough to take instruction well, and you know, they're not too cool. They don't know everything, so they're mm-hmm. you know, really
interesting.
It's a great age. So that's evolved into us bringing this past year, our program accommodated all of the third graders in Lake Ponderay School District with one. Except one school. We try to get all the schools mm-hmm. over. Susie Miller does a great job, who runs our swim instruction program. So they come over for a three-day safety, water safety class at the Y.
Okay.
We will have a certified instructor running that program, and then a bunch of adult volunteers, because you need other people in the water when you've got 20-something third graders. That's all volunteer-driven. And so we've been doing this for years now. Incredibly successful program, and we use that program also to screen for who doesn't know how to swim or swim well enough, and then we invite mm-hmm. those kids back for lessons, and then we try to touch them again in seventh grade, bring seventh graders back for another round. 2 years ago we expanded up into Bonners. We now bring third graders down from Bonners. Shout out to the people at Ponderay Shores. They allow us to use their pool for our Clark Fork and Northside kids. They're wonderful. And this is our second year to serve kids in the summertime out in Priest River and Laclede. We offered lessons in the summer at the
Model. So you're expanding your reach.
Right. We're using our model.
Perfect.
So we're out in the mud hole last year, and this year starting in August, we'll have 3 weeks of lessons at Riley Creek Campground. We have, I think, 80 kids signed up for lessons this summer.
Cool.
So it's just been, I mentioned this at Rotary yesterday, I believe that in the 15 years, we've now served 10,000 kids.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And we also were very big supporters of lifeguard training. We're happy to subsidize lifeguard training for both City Beach lifeguards as well as the Y. We've done that for years. And we're constantly trying to help with developing instruction and so on.
You know, to pick up what you were earlier saying, not only the person in the water, but what do you do when you see someone in difficulty?
That's right.
I mean, do you just jump in and, you know, given your skill set or whatever, you know, a lot of there needs to be education on that as well.
That's right. So that's a really big deal. So... So as you know, our mission is to have no child get past third grade without learning how to swim. And that's something we're very focused on. And I mm-hmm. can't tell you how many children there are on the swim team who got their start with learning how to
do it
mm-hmm. with the Longbridge swim programs.
When did you learn how to swim, Jack?
I went down to the YMCA, I think when I was like two or three or something like that.
Oh, really?
I mean, I was very young. And yeah, actually some early memories. And then I was on the swim team in high school.
What event?
Oh, I was decent at the butterfly, although that's exhausting. And then I was more of a sprinter than anything else, the 50. The longest distance in Minnesota high school swimming was 500. We did not have a 1500. That is actually kind of mind-boggling to me.
That's because your lakes are really small.
That's right. Yes, they're. Yeah, we don't have...
one of the 10,000?
Lots of them, but they're really small.
Right. And even the 500 takes a long time. That's like people go to a swim meet to cheer on their, you know, relative usually, and then the 500 comes along, and that's a great time to go take a little walk.
Bathroom break.
Yeah, exactly. Stretch your legs a little bit. So the 1500 is like... That's,
forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Jim, when did you learn how to swim?
I was pretty young also. Mm-hmm. Probably older than Jack, but I think 4 or 5.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, Jim?
I learned at the YMCA. I've always been around water in northern Indiana and in southern Michigan. We'd go to Lake Michigan, you know, but, you know, the difference between as a kid just getting your little bucket and making sandcastles and running out in the water and a wave comes and running back. I don't know if I would call that swimming, but at least I felt comfortable.
Comfortable in the water.
Comfortable in the water. Of course, you know, I mean, don't go in after 20 minutes until 20 minutes after eating and things like that. So we never wandered very far from shore on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to what you were saying, Jack, about you said 500 meters. Now, do they do 1,500 meters in high school now in Minnesota?
Not as far as I know. Also, we do, it's yards in Minnesota. We're Americans, so we swim yards, not meters, in Minnesota. I don't know. Perhaps the Minnesota State High School, Athletic Association has changed, but I think all the pools were built
on yards rather
so
than
probably
meters.
It's still yards.
And Jim, I'd like to, I would imagine that you received tremendous support from the community for the swim program, and I'm sure that there are businesses that support as well.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Swim registrations cover the cost of putting on the event. So it's a self-sustaining organization, kind of a one-day-a-year event. The swim lessons are supported by sponsors. So we go out each year, and many of our sponsors have been with us now for 15 years since we started the program. So we've got a very reliable group of sponsors. You can see them on our T-shirts and on our website. And they've been just great. So we try to raise $25,000, $30,000 a year to support our swim lessons.
Perfect.
Program. And that's been just great. We also each year try to do some kind of project that supports swimming. Whether it's we helped fund the goose poop scooper thing that was for City Beach some years ago.
Right.
Paid for the material for replacing the pilings along the causeway from Dog Beach out, those 12 pilings. Then Jim Woodward with Apex volunteered to actually put those in for us, but we paid for the materials for that 10 years ago now. So we're constantly trying to do projects that will help with swimming in our region. So that's an important thing too.
I do want to say something that I first came across Eric and Jim years ago. There was a thing on it, it was Channel 5, of when you swam not the circumference, but swam of Lake Ponderay. They swam the edge of it all the way around.
Like the perimeter.
Perimeter. Okay. That's the word I was looking
for. So in 2007, the first year Eric roped me into volunteering, he also said, hey, let's swim the length of the lake. So we got, nine of us. And we swam from Buttonhook Bay to City Beach. And Ernie Bellwood, he volunteered his houseboat as our sag wagon. And we didn't know how long it would take us, but we were going to do a relay and always have a swimmer in the water. And each person did a mile. And so we started. And so off we went. I think it was 37 miles from – and so Eric Plummer, remember him, the sports
reporter?
So he volunteered to meet us at City Beach whenever we got in to take pictures and verify that we did it. So we left at noon on a Saturday, and then called it. We got in at 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and there was Eric. So we swam all night, and we just had a great time. Then we decided what you're referring to is in 2008. Well, let's swim around the let's circumnavigate the lake. So we with the GPS we waypointed all the little points that stick out, and I think it was 82 miles. We started at Kramer's.
82 miles.
Yeah, and we started at 6 o'clock on Friday night, and we got in at 4:30 on Sunday. So it took us 46 and a half hours. And we had the same group of people save one. We had to swap out one person. We made it a point to pick a full moon. And we just had another houseboat. We just had a blast.
What's it like to swim when it's dark?
Oh, Jack would like it because then you can't see anything.
Yeah,
but it was really neat. I remember we drew straws to see who. I remember I had 11 turns, so I got to do 11 miles of that, and it was just super fun. And The idea was to try to sleep, you know, but nobody slept. I mean, we were up the whole time. And we had Scott Rulander, which is why there's a video of that, and Dan Krabacher were our safety kayakers, because we wanted to be a little ways away from the boat so you wouldn't smell any of the fumes from the engine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we had, what do you call those little, the little lights, the little, the lights that you tweak the...
The glow sticks.
Glow sticks, yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Glow sticks, mm-hmm. We tucked those in behind our goggles, so mm-hmm. it was easy to see us. And so we always had a safety kayaker in the water with us, and Scott came along to be a safety kayaker and to create that little film, which was on Channel 5, I don't know if it still is,
it was
forever.
Wonderful.
Really cute, you know, and and one of the really nice things that we did, now I can't remember his name. We had this swimmer from Bonners. Oh, this is terrible. He, at that point, was our oldest swimmer. He and his lovely wife came down, and when we came past the Statue of Liberty at City Beach, we picked him up. Oh, this is terrible. I'm having a senior moment. I can't remember his name. They were there with their little lawn chairs. Again, this was on Sunday. You know, we'd already gone mm-hmm. all the way around the lake, and we came in with that houseboat really slow, and we picked them up. They stepped onto the houseboat off the Statue of Liberty there, and then he swam a lap, took a turn, and they were so cute. They were both in their 80s at the time, but so we wanted him to participate,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it was just a celebratory thing. It was really, really fun.
Do you know where you are? Is that film available? Does the library
that's
have
a good
copy?
Question. I'll have to ask Scott about that. And, you know, I should also mention that Chuck Milton, who's now our oldest swimmer who's ever done the swim, he did it 4 years ago at age 90 and then 2 years ago at 92. And that was super fun. He did a great job.
You mentioned a website. We didn't say the URL.
Yeah, longbridgeswim.org.
Oh, that was easy.
I think I did. Yeah,
Jim. Before we let you go, what's your personal best on the Longbridge Swim?
Ooh.
In 2003, my third year, I was never a competitive swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
My first 2 years, I did it in 57 minutes.
Ooh.
And then, I trained the third year with Trevor Gray,
mm-hmm.
who used to live here. And I did it in 41 and a half minutes.
Wow.
41 and a half?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
That's very impressive.
My goal had been to be at the top 25, mm-hmm. and I came in 26th. But you don't know where you are. But I know I was still thrilled to do that. So I'll never come close to that again.
That was so 41 was your, that was your best in about 2006. Right.
It was 2003. Like
2003. Okay.
That was 45 years old.
Okay. And how'd you do last year?
Last year was my first year to not swim. I had done it 22 years in a row, and I'd had a shoulder replacement a few months before. So,
well, okay,
couldn't swim last year. So,
how about the year before that?
I think that was the year I swam with Chuck Milton at age 92. I supported him, so he and I came in less than an hour and a half, which I was thrilled to have a 92-year-old come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
So that was pretty neat. And then a couple years before that, I swam with my daughter and
Sierra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sierra. And she and Chuck that year were, she was 9, he was 90. They were the youngest and oldest. So it was really funny.
Okay.
We were talking, you know, I think the newspaper article was from 9 to 90. And so when we were talking before the swim, she looked over at Chuck and she said, "You're exactly 10 times as old as me."
Mm-hmm.
That's a conversation starter, that's for sure. So one more time, the Longbridge Swim is this Saturday, August the 3rd, if you can believe that. And you can go to longbridgeswim.com for all of the information. Dot org?
Dot org,
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. dot org. Think, mm-hmm. There is a difference. Is org...
Nonprofits.
Nonprofits.
Yeah. And speaking of nonprofit, I do want to say thank you to all of our volunteers. Thank you to all of our sponsors, many of whom have been with us for many, many years, and to all of our participants. It's just a great event. We love doing this.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in And good to see you again. And we want to hear about your adventures in the water.
Well, good to see you guys. Thanks for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. On this date in 1972, this song was released.
Oh, boy. Okay. Also, we'll be back in just a minute. I see Rob Talbot is out there with some news from the Panada. And we actually have a little bit of an announcement. But, yes, here's your 1972. Okay.
Woman by the Eagles, the second song released from their debut album. And of course, they just had a ton of, of songs that we all remember.
They, I believe their greatest hits is the best selling album. No,
you're absolutely correct.
Like of all time.
Volume one.
Yep.
And Witchy Woman is on it.
It sure is. We are, you're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, that's Jim, and now in the studio, having said good day to Jim Zuberbühler from the Longbridge Swim, we're talking to Rob Talbot, the executive director of the Panada Theater.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you.
Nice vibes in here with the with no lights and just the light from the sunroof. That's pretty, it's relaxing. It's Zen-like almost.
Right. We, no, it, actually, none of this equipment works. We're just, it's a power outage. We're just sitting here chatting.
Oh, Jack, we're so zen.
We have, well, let's, I guess let's talk about general upcoming events at the Panada, and then actually there's a little bit of an exciting announcement that I think we can make this morning,
there,
too.
There is, yeah. There's, you know, just, right now we're currently, we're in the second week of the Alice in Wonderland theatrical theater camp, and Lake Pondere Repertory Theater, Keely Gray, is doing a great job help making that happen. And honestly, I'm just I'm kind of over the moon with that, because you know my kids are almost five and three, and they're going to be available to do this here in a few years, and I'm just really excited to see something like this take hold. I mean, to sell out. I mean, we didn't announce it. We kind of announced it late because we got our grant a little later than a little late in the game, but we're able to sell it out, and it's just amazing that we're able to put this thing together and make it happen, get it sold out. And we've got that the public performance of that will be next Friday at August 9th at 6:30 and Saturday, August 10th at 2:30. So come out and support the kids. You know, we've got a really low admission price to get people in, be able to get people into those camps and make those things possible. And the ticketing is going to be is kind of our fundraiser to make sure that this can continue to happen and support the Panada as well as Lake Pondere Repertory Theater.
Yeah. Plus, it's Alice in Wonderland.
Fun
show.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got Sacred Alaska coming up on August 15th. Dirty Dancing, which is a movie I grew up watching. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom watched that all the time, and I grew up around that one quite a bit growing up. So that's going to be a fun one to be putting on at the Panada. And then we have Andy Gross, who is a comedian, ventriloquist, magician, kind of all those things wrapped up in one. He's going to be a lot of fun, very entertaining. It is a child, kid-friendly show. He does have some shock value stuff out there on. He's got he's got several million views on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So he's got some shock value stuff that he will be toning down a little bit to make kid-friendly. Magic tricks with cards and things like that, as well as the ventriloquy and comedy. So get those tickets.
What's the date on that?
The date on that is August 17th, and that is a Panada Presents show. So anything that's Panada Presents, like Dirty Dancing, Andy Gross, Twister, all the proceeds from those events go to support the Panada. So keep that in mind when you're like, if you're on the fence, go, hey, if I go to this, it supports the Panada. And if you're like me, we need the Panada. So come out and support us. And like I said, Twister, that's coming up on August 23rd as well. So we got a pretty busy August.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
indeed. And you're still playing the great summer movies. Dirty Dancing may be the best of them all. We talked about this last time. I think you said you grew up near where they filmed it, right?
I grew up near Mountain Lake. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half away from where I grew up. I grew up on Smith Mountain Lake in Virginia. So,
yeah.
Not a natural lake like the one in Dirty Dancing, but
well, okay. I guess should we say this now?
I think we have a really, really exciting announcement coming up.
Yeah.
Or an exciting announcement for a show coming up in September. And I'll let you.
Well, on September 16th, which is a Saturday,
correct?
KRFY and the Panada together are very pleased to present an evening with Viggo Mortensen. He will be the director and star of the new film, The Dead Don't Hurt, will be live in person at the Panada Theater on September 16th as a benefit for the Panada and this radio station. And then we'll be showing the film, The Dead Don't Hurt, which is it's a highly rated, well-regarded film, a Western, I believe, set around the time of the Civil War. It was starring Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, and I've been looking forward to this movie for a while, actually.
Yeah.
I'm able to get out and see it, but I'm excited to see this one, not with Viggo, but just to see it myself. And then
it looks like
a great
film.
Then for him to come out, introduce the movie, present the movie, and then at the end, we'll do some question and answer with the audience. It'll be a really interactive, fun night. And I will say, we don't have tickets on sale yet, but they're going to go on sale soon. So you got to pay attention because the last two times that he's been generous enough to do this for the Panada and KRFY, it sold out. The last time it sold out two nights.
Yeah.
We only have the opportunity to do one night this time. So I will say, get those tickets quick. Don't do the Sandpoint stall, folks. Not on this.
Did you coin that phrase yourself?
I've got the trademark in process now.
So. It is a real thing. Yes.
Oh, it's very real.
Everybody waits to see what the weather's going to do before they make their commitments. But right. Yeah. Pay attention. Listen to this radio station because we will be sure to announce the moment that tickets do become available. They are not yet, but that is September 16th. Mark your calendar, Saturday.
Yes, and you know there's several ways you can figure out, find out when these things are going out on going on sale. First, one of those is social media. Follow the Panada on Instagram or Facebook. KRFY is on Facebook. Are you on Instagram?
I think we are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we are.
So those things, follow those things. Also, the Panada has a really great newsletter. We only send it out once a week. We do an update each week on Thursday to let you know what's coming up. So that's a really good spot to find out as well. So keep an eye on those spaces.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you're going to be out of town for this.
Yes, I will. I've already seen Dead Don't Hurt.
Oh, well, how did you like the movie? Great was it, Jim?
It is absolutely fantastic. It should sweep the Academy Awards. The interesting aspect of it that if I were around, I'd love to have a conversation. And we might do a conversation with him ahead of time, a phone interview. He directs the movie. And what is it like, number one, as an actor to be directed? And number two, what is it like to be the director directing yourself? You know, I mean, it gets sort of existential. But I would like to, because this is the second movie that I think he's directed himself. The first one was Passing. So it'll be interesting, but absolutely well worth seeing. A wonderful contribution to the community by him. And it should be a sellout. I wish I were here, but I will be in the country of, I think, his third adopted home. I'll be in Spain. So,
Well, we don't feel too bad for you. I hate to say
that. Yeah, I'm sure. But I would like to be here. It'll be wonderful to have him. And he got one of his starts at the Panada. That's the story behind. He was back in the early 80s. I don't know what play group in Sandpoint was putting on Death of a Salesman. And I think he was going to be the character of Biff, and he was rehearsing when Los Angeles called. And he had to exit out. That's my understanding.
Wow.
And Karen Bowers could probably fill me in a little bit more with the details, but that's my understanding, that's why he has a fondness, not only for the area, but for the Panada as well.
Well, okay.
We need to verify that.
When should we let truth get in the way of a good story?
All right. Well, as usual, we've gone over our
bird notes, people. Forgive us.
I know. Yeah.
We should schedule more time next time. We have too much fun talking.
I know. Well, we got carried away.
Jim was great. Yeah. Longer to swim.
Have you ever swum then? Rob?
Thanks for asking and thinking that I could, but no.
Good. Yeah. We all three have something in common now.
I was saying that I'm not even afraid of jumping into the middle of the lake, but the idea of swimming next to the bridge where you can see the pylons kind of disappear into the deep water. That spooks me out a little bit.
Well, let's not forget how cold the water is, okay?
Oh, relax. It feels great, especially on like a 93-degree day.
It's still cold.
We're expecting on Saturday.
Good. All right.
Well, hey.
Thank you much, Rob, for coming in and sharing the good news with the Panada and upcoming events. You can always go to panada.org to get information.
Yeah, thanks, Jim and Jack. Appreciate y'all having us here. And yeah, it's always fun to hang out with you guys, and look forward to seeing everybody out there at the Panada soon.
We'll see you soon. All right. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Auto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.